Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
I like Moose Knuckles.
I will destroy them all.
Hello, and welcome to The Coordinate, an Attack on Titan podcast. I'm Tyler, and today I'll be talking about episode 86 of Attack on Titan, Retrospective. An episode title that at first I was like, what is this in reference to? And then I was like, oh, wait, yeah, it's the guys at the end who die and, you know, they're looking back. And especially Theo McGath is like, I did some bad things, didn't I? And Keith is like, yeah, but you realize that. And, you know, I'm proud of you. By the way, my name's Keith. That's the end of the episode where they explode and die. Let's go back to the beginning where they're both alive. We see one of them at least. we open up with the end of last episode with Connie killing those two guys who are people with names, and they're not that important. I had to look this up because they're very minor characters, and there's a lot of minor characters of the show, and you can't remember them all. But Daz was in the first season. That's like the last time we see him. He was in the Battle of the Tross District. And then Samuel, I believe, was in the first, maybe the second season. There's like a flashback where Historia and Ymir save a guy in the snow. And that's that guy. So, yeah, super minor characters. It would have been kind of cool if they built them up a little this season. Like, maybe in part one, we see them invading... What's that place called? Liberia? Yeah, we see them invading there and, like, you know, they're, like, celebrating or something. And it's like, yeah, we're gonna have good times and stuff. And then they don't have good times and stuff because they die. Because Connie kills them. But, you know... Gotta do what you gotta do. But yeah, so we start out with that, and then, you know, you're a little bit like, oh, it's just, you know, anime thing, repeating the same scene. But then it does something cool, and we get, like a perspective change, and we flash, like, speed over to Annie and Reiner, and they're doing their fight, and it's really cool. Like, their Titans look great. There's, like, only one scene where I'm like, oh, this Titan CGI is maybe not the greatest, where we see Reiner, like, punch through a building. We see mostly his face, and... doesn't quite perfectly blend with the rest of the scene, but otherwise this episode looks fantastic. All the Titan stuff, all of the ODM maneuvering, like, this is probably the best ODM maneuvering we've seen in season 4, I think. At least I was really impressed with it. There was a lot of cool things happening, and yeah, the choreography in this episode was amazing. So action heavy. What to talk about first? All I really want to do is talk about Mikasa, because she just straight up butchered people. That was ridiculous. But I guess let's talk about the plot stuff. So we've got McGath and Hanji are talking to the people with the airship. I forgot those people's name, but she's talking to them about getting the airship running, but there's a problem. It's going to take like a full day for them to like service it. But there's another plan, which is, hey, they could take the ship to this place on the mainland called Odaha, and they take it there, and if they take it there, it's only going to take half a day to get flying. So, you know, that's an improvement. And they can't really surface it there because they're in enemy territory. So, yeah, it'd be a hazard. So that's their plan. They're going to drag it behind a boat, and they're going to take it to that place, and that place is not going to get trampled. But unfortunately... for some of our characters, all of Marley will be trampled by the time they get the ship flying. So, sorry, Annie. So anyways, the action bits. Okay, so there's so much happening. We've got Reiner and Annie, you know, holding their own, getting pretty much destroyed by I guess they're the Survey Corps, the Jaegerist. They're getting destroyed by the Jaegerist, who apparently now have, like, an infinite supply of Thunder Spears, which is fine. I mean, they knew a war was coming. They ramped up production. But yeah, it is kind of funny to see, like, how many Thunder Spears they have, just because, you know, back in Season 3, they seem to be a rarity. I think there was, like, one part where they're fighting Reiner's Armor Titan, and they only had, like, one or two left, and so that was, like, a thing. They needed to conserve them. But I guess Annie is really at a disadvantage here, because Thunder Spears were not a thing the last time she was fighting the Survey Corps and, you know, people in ODM gear, which is already a challenge for these Titans. So they are trying to protect the people that are trying to get the ship running, so they don't get killed and they can get the ship running. But they're like, their head's coming off. Like, Annie's head literally falls off and she's like, I can't see a thing. And yeah, before that, Reiner, like, jumped in front of some Thunder Spears and just took them all to the face for her. So he's probably not doing too great, too. But then Connie comes to the rescue and, like, does some cool stuff. But then Falco's over in the corner, and Falco's like, I've got these, you know, Jaw Titan powers, presumably. I really need to get in there and help. But then Peek is like, no, you can't do that, because, like, the first time everyone transforms, it does not go well. Which I guess is most often the case. But the first time Aaron transformed, I think he was fine, mostly. And then I know they said that Berthold, the first time he transformed, you know, it was fine. But often, I guess, it does not go well for, you know, they lose control or whatever. Because that's what happens to poor little Falco. But yeah, so Falco breaks away from Peek. Peek is trying to get Gabby and... who else is with them? All I remember is Gabby. But she's trying to get them back to the ship. There are other people with them. Levi's probably there. I'm tempted to go look, but I'm not. I don't think it's that important. Anyways, Falco, like, founds, like, an old rusty nail or something and starts digging into his hand to, you know, cause the damage that needs to be done for them to transform. He could have just bit himself, I guess. I don't know which one's easier. I don't know if you've probably, watching the show and seeing it done by so many characters or just so many times by Aaron, you've, like, tried to bite yourself. Like, I cannot mentally make myself bite my own hand hard enough to make it bleed. I think you have to be a certain type of insane to do that. But also, I don't think it would be any easier to dig into my hand with a nail. But anyways, so Falco does that. He transforms, and he looks awesome. I didn't care for his Jaw Titan's appearance in the manga. It kind of looked like this, like, weird, shriveled old man. But yeah, it translated to the anime way better. And so, yeah, let's talk about his Falcon. Well, let's talk about Falco's Titan. His Titan is kind of bird-like. He's got, like, talons. He's got a beak. The beak looks really cool. I like how you can see the Titan's face underneath. Like, presumably Porco and Marco? Is that his brother? I get Marco and Marcel confused. Anyways, Porco's brother, presumably they have, like, a normal Titan face underneath all of the hardening stuff, the hardened jaw. But yeah, it's cool that you see Falco's. And so he's got, like, maybe fur on part of his body, but it could also, maybe it's meant to be like, have you ever seen, like, a baby bird? They have, like, the weird soft kind of fur looking feathers. I don't know if it's supposed to be that, because, you know, he's got talons, he's got a beak, he's kind of bird like but yeah, so we see Falco, you know, making some havoc there for a little bit, which helps out with Annie and Reiner, but eventually they take care of all the enemies, and he does not stop, and he goes after Peek, and I think Magath is the one who cuts him out. I think that's what happens. But yeah, so all of that's happening, and then there's reinforcements of Jaegerus coming in, and then it mysteriously blows up, because they're all like, oh no, if these reinforcements get here, we're screwed. And then who blows it up? We don't know at that time. And then meanwhile, Mikasa is just, oh my god, Mikasa. Oh, she kills so many people, and it's so gory, and it's, like, really awesome. But then at the same time, at the very end of the episode, we have the message of, like, you know, we're tired of doing all this killing, like, and at the start, we have, like, Connie killing his friend, so, like, it carries this, like, weight it's interesting because, like, you're, like, you know, really rooting for Mikasa. You're like, this is awesome, like, the things she's doing. But then at the same time, you feel the weight of how it must be, I don't, emotionally draining. I've never killed a person. I will be the first to admit that. And I can't imagine it feels good, even if in the anime it looks cool, you know? Because at one point, Mikasa, like, kills, like, three people. And then she, like, has to wipe the blood out of her eyes. And her and John, who was there with a gun shooting people, you know, they have an exchange about how if they hesitate, they die. Which is a callback to, I believe, season three, when they first, in the Uprising arc, when Levi's trying to tell them, you know, they've got to kill people now. Because, you know, that's who their enemy is at the time. They're fighting the government. And if they hesitate, they die. So, yeah, that's a callback to that. It's a nice callback. But, yeah, so Mikasa wipes blood out of her eyes. It looks really cool. And then after that, she, like, uses her ODM gear to drag, like, wrap two people around each other and, like, pull them together and, like, swings them and hits some people. And then she stabs through both of them. And then she pulls the pins on their thunder spears, walks away. There's an explosion. And it literally rains blood. And it's the most badass metal thing I think I've seen in Attack on Titan. But then, like I said, like, you've got this whole message of how, like, killing is bad and they don't want to kill anymore. But then they make the killing look so cool. And then you're conflicted and you're like, do I want them to kill people? Do I not want Mikasa to kill people? Because it looks cool, but it probably makes her feel bad. There's this one scene where after Mikasa kills a bunch of people, we just see all the Jaegerists, like, running away in fear, and it's obvious that they're way more scared of Mikasa than they are of either of the Titans. And yeah, I just thought that was interesting. I guess they've come such a long ways with Titan fighting gear that, like, it's kind of, like, second nature to them to fight Titans, but then it comes to people, and Mikasa is, like, in a league of her own. I guess she's in a league with Levi, but Levi's not in that league anymore because he's missing some fingers and he's otherwise injured. But, yeah. Is Mikasa the real monster? Maybe. What else happens in this episode? I feel like I'm forgetting something I wanted to talk about.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile Coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Oh, yeah. Flock is in this episode, and there's this one point where he's, like, holding his gun. He's got one gun. He's got two guns, but he's got one held normal way and one held, like, sideways, like in, like, gangster movies. I don't know if, like, anyone in a gang actually holds a gun like that, or it's just, like, a movie thing, but yeah, so that's good for him. There's this one part that was really cool where we see, like, everyone, like, freeze in slow motion, kind of like we did back in the episode where Eren's head got shot off. I thought that was a cool scene. And one of the coolest people in that moment, we have Peek, is, like, her Titan's, like, walking away from an explosion, which is nice. Mikasa's like stabbing some people, and like this one guy's like hands touching her face. And then we get Flock realizes their plan, that they're trying to take this ship away. So he's like, all I gotta do is blow up this ship, like put a hole in the side of it, and then boom, I am the savior of Eldia. So he tries to do that. Everyone tries to kill him. Everyone misses, except for Gabby, who shoots him in like the shoulder or something. And he just, it makes him miss. He just like barely misses the ship, and he falls into the ocean and dies because Gabby just kills everyone. I know people hate Gabby, but it's a consistent thing that she is amazing at shooting. So, you know, I'm here for it. Jean shot some people that are flying just crazily. So yeah, I know his name's John. I call him Gene all the time. Damn it. I cannot. It's hard to fix that when you like read it wrong for years. But yeah, so that's most of the episode. Everyone gets on the ship, almost everyone, and they're floating away. Magath decided to stay back because, you know, more people are going to come. And in particular, there is a captured Marleyan ship that's faster than the ship they have that is going to catch up to them and destroy them unless someone takes it out. And that's on him. So he's planning to go on the ship, blow it up, and he's going to be taken out with it. And then Keith shows up, and we learn that, hey, Keith is the one who blew up all the reinforcements, which is pretty dope. I guess he killed a lot of people, which is bad. This episode tells us that killing people is bad, but also that killing people is cool. So yeah, don't kill people, but yeah, don't kill people. That's the moral. Anyways, so Keith and Magath, they like get together, they have a chit chat. You know, they don't know each other at all, but they're like the old generation, which I think is why it's important that they die. It's because, like, you know, like their generation is dying out. It's like they're kind of the last of themselves because all of Marley's about to be flattened. The entire military got destroyed except for Keith, I think. Like, you know, Keith's like the highest ranking person at that point, probably. But yeah, they talk, and Magath talks about how he realized, like, despite his like moral objection to it, how he allowed these kids to be child soldiers, and then he, you know, made them destroy the wall, and he realized that if they could just live happy, normal lives, like, that would, like, make him happy, and that would be, like, you know, make the world for him. So that's why he decided to stay behind and take out the ship. And Keith is, you know, patting him on the back, and Magath's like, don't do that. He's not physically doing it, but yeah, and Keith is just like, I'm very proud of you for realizing this. And it's a very touching moment. And I guess that's where the whole title of the episode comes from, retrospective, because it's Magath looking back on his life and realizing that he made a lot of mistakes, but maybe he can make up for some of them in this moment. And so, yeah, they blow up the ship and they both die. And it's sad. But also kind of cool because it was an explosion. And then I think that's it until the credits, and I think after the credits is when we get this, but that doesn't really matter. Why, I don't know why I'm focusing on it so much, but yeah, then we get a scene with Annie talking to everyone, but in particular she's talking to Mikasa about, you know, asking if she now is able to kill Eren, and Mikasa doesn't answer, but Annie's just like, I'm done with killing. Like, I've, you know, my dad's probably dead because Marley's getting flattened, and that was my whole reason for fighting in the first place, and I'm over it. I just need to know that if I try and kill Eren, that you're not going to try and fight me. Like, we're not going to get into this fight. Well, we just need to agree in the beginning that this is what we're going to do if we have to. And yeah, I thought it was interesting that she mentions, you know, she doesn't want to kill Mikasa, she doesn't want to kill anyone, she doesn't even want to kill Eren. Yeah, I thought that was very interesting. But yeah, I guess that's because all of her motivation is gone, or so she thinks. But yeah, so in this episode that glorifies killing and how cool it looks, the moral is killing is bad, and they don't want to do it because it makes them feel bad. Yeah, I thought this was an amazing episode. Like, overall, the season has just been so consistently great. Like, the pacing has been amazing. Like, we've had, like, one or two slow episodes, but, like, they were needfully slow. And, you know, they like, it made them better for, you know, like going from like all the action, like you need to slow down sometimes. And like, they were cool character moments. And this episode was just, it was great. I would love to know what you guys think about Falco's Titan. I think it's a really cool design. If you're in our Discord, I posted a picture of what it looked like in the manga, and it looks so much better in the anime. It looks really weird in the manga, at least in that one shot, and that's like the first shot you see it. So I think that's the one that like got burned into my mind. I don't think we have anything in the ball bag this week. We did get a question in the Discord asking, I believe, like if I thought that, you know, this is the second to last episode of part two of the final season. So if I thought there was going to be a movie to end the series, and I'm kind of leaning that way. There's like a chapter that they skipped in the anime that was like a flashback. And I think that would be a good place to start a movie. So that's kind of why I'm leaning towards thinking they're doing a movie. But they could easily just, you know, it would be a good place to start another part of the season, just because it kind of brings you back into everything with that flashback. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll find out maybe next week. So next week, there's not an episode of Attack on Titan. There's some kind of anime thing. I don't really know, but people are expecting there to be an announcement about how Attack on Titan is going to end. Is it going to be part three a year from now, a movie 2 years from now? Please don't let it be that long. Don't let it be that far away. You know, at most there would be like 5 or 6 episodes left, unless they added a lot of extra content, which honestly, if they're going to take a year to do, I would be cool with that, because the only problems, no, I'm not going to say that. the main issue I had, and a lot of people had, with the last couple of chapters is that they seemed a bit rushed. Like, some things could have been fleshed out a little better, and it would have not only made more sense but been more satisfying. I'm not gonna say the ending wasn't satisfying. I'm not gonna say it was good. I'm not gonna say it was bad, because I don't want you to know that. I don't want you to have expectations of anything. I want you to go into the ending just expecting to have an ending. That's about it. But yeah, so we'll see. I really hope we get the ending sooner rather than later. Like, obviously, I would want it to be like the best quality, all that. But I really want to talk about the ending to anyone. I don't know anyone personally who has finished, who's read the manga. So yeah, I want to be able to talk about the ending and actually be able to say if I thought it was good, bad, or whatever. But yeah, that is it for the week. Next week, there's not an episode of Attack on Titan, like I said, but, me and Bill are going to watch the first 3 episodes of Jujutsu Kaisen. I think that's the name of the anime. We know nothing about it, but we're going to watch the first 3 episodes, which is supposed to be an arc, and we're going to record an episode together and talk about it. And then we'll be back with the final episode of part 2 after that. So you can follow us on Twitter at CoordinatePod. You can email us at CoordinatePod@gmail.com. You can join our Discord at probablywork.com/Discord. And you could just chat with us there, and that'd be cool. Let us know what you think about Falco's Titan. Let us know how you'd like to see the series end. Let us know if your mom's single. I'm kidding. but yeah, until next time, don't get eaten. But really, is your mom seeing anyone?
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today, we talk retrospectives with Agile Coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast. So you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into five themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first three boards free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.